We are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My next guest is Judy Berg, screenwriter behind some of Hallmark Channel's most beloved romantic and heartwarming films. She's going to talk about how she got started in college, actually, and became a writer, works alongside with her sister, and she's joining us now. Good morning, Judy.
Hi. Good morning.
Do you go by Judy or Judith?
Judy.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. I know we met last month at an event in L.A., and I loved hearing your backstory, how you started off writing, and I thought maybe we could jump in by having you share with listeners where your desire to become a writer first started.
Okay, sure. I am one of the few people, I think, who's an actual L.A. native. My mother was born here as well. And I had no connections to the film industry, but my parents were big moviegoers, and I grew up loving movies. Mm-hmm. And my sister, Sandy, and I are we're not twins, but we're about a year and a half apart, and we were very close growing up, and we both went to UCLA. She was a film major, and I was in the English department. I was a playwriting major. And we both were working part-time while we were going to school, and it was summer. I think it was my junior year. We had moved home. We were living at home over the summer and working, and just decided that we wanted to try writing a script together.
Nice.
So we literally went to the UCLA Research Library every weekend, got a conference room, and wrote. And then thanks to Sandy's film school connections, they had a lot of speakers coming to classes, and somebody gave one of the classes a list of agents at the time who would read non-solicited material. And I know that's really hard now, but back then it wasn't so hard. So we sent our script to several people, and an agent sparked to the script that we had written that summer, and she sent it around, and it got a lot of attention. We got a lot of meetings, and
amazing.
Then we were actually meeting with Rob Cohen, who was a producer at the time with Motown Productions, and he said, I want to do a movie. They were looking for a movie for Diana Ross, and he said, and I also want to do a high school comedy. So we spent all of our time coming up with ideas for Diana Ross, you know, pitches, and barely gave a thought to the high school comedy. We met with Rob, and he didn't like any of our Diana Ross movies.
No.
And he said, well, what about the high school movie? And we said, oh, okay. So we kind of looked at each other, and we just sort of started, you know, our idea was, and this was before the movie Election, a high school election. And that's all we had. And then we just started talking about all the characters we went to high school with and some of our experiences. And Rob just said, I love it, and we got a development deal. I was still in college and decided, you know, at that point I was a senior, and I wanted to get my degree after all this time. Mm-hmm. So we were writing while we were still in school, and that movie actually got made. It took, you know, went through a couple of years of development, and it was called Almost Summer, and it was Tim Matheson, Bruno Kirby, Didi Kahn, Lee Purcell. And, you know, we like the movie. It's not our favorite, but, you know, of course we were rewritten. And, but it's a cute movie. And unfortunately, it's a movie called Almost Summer that got released in September. So that wasn't exactly a smart marketing move.
Oh, no.
I know. And then it never came out until I think just a couple years ago. It was released on DVD because the Beach Boys did the music for the movie.
Oh.
And the music was great, but that was at the time when Mike Love and Brian Wilson had a falling out. So the music rights were tied up legally. They were fighting, so the movie couldn't get released, couldn't get re-released. It couldn't get put out on video or DVD.
Ugh.
So
I saw the trailer.
Ah,
I watched
the
trailer. It's 1978, I believe.
Yeah. So we were very young when we did it. We were still in school, and you know, we thought, oh, this movie business is easy. You know, when they said, yeah, they're making your movie, we're like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't occur to us that not everything gets made. You know, we were so naive. We had no idea whatsoever, and of course, then learned the hard way.
Yeah,
but so we were actually very fortunate through the years. We did had a lot of development deals. most of which didn't get made. We did some uncredited rewrites. We did some movies that were made that we used pseudonyms on. We did a TV show, which we did enjoy working on. But basically, we just really got tired of doing movies and writing scripts that weren't getting made.
Mm-hmm.
So we had written a script called Personal Assistant, which was for Alicia Silverstone.
Okay.
And long story, but we ended up getting the rights back. We had a deal on it. It fell apart, but we ended up getting the movie back, the ownership back.
Okay.
And we met a producer who was looking for movies that are family-friendly for Hallmark. So this wasn't family-friendly. We did a quick rewrite. She took it into Hallmark, and they bought it, and that was our first movie there called Love on the Sidelines, and that was in 2015.
Okay.
And it was a huge hit for Hallmark, and we were lucky. They kept, they gave us rewrites to do, and we then sold some original pitches, and we were just really fortunate and had been working there pretty steadily for, since 2015.
That's incredible story. I love that.
Thank you.
How do you stay positive, Judy, in an industry that's so challenging?
It's really difficult. I mean, early on when I was just starting out, this is something that stuck with me. I went to, the Writers Guild has a lot of good seminars, and they have Zoom meetings now and all sorts of things that, I didn't take advantage of enough, but mm-hmm. I encourage people to go to any kind of seminar you can, because you learn so much, and it's a great way to network and meet people. But they had a psychologist at one of these. It was about learning how to do your finances and budget, because it's such an up-and-down industry.
Yeah.
You might make a lot of money one year and, buy a condo or a house and spend all your money, and then, next
right.
year you don't have anything and
yeah.
you can't pay your mortgage. So this was about learning how to do your finances, and it was for also mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a psychologist there who, the first thing she said was, if it affects your mental health, get out. It's not worth it.
Yes.
So, and that stuck with me, because you have to have, as you know, such a thick skin.
I mean,
this is an industry that's really all about rejection. People
yeah.
want to say no. They don't want to say yes.
Right.
It's, and if you can't take it and it does affect your mental health, I agree with her. I think it's just not worth it. So you have to just let the rejection roll off you, because eventually somebody will say yes if you're tenacious enough and you stick with it.
So true.
I mean, that's basically it. You can't give up. I mean, my sister has a motto. I mean, there are times when I want to give up, and she's like, never give up.
Mm. It's good you have each other, cheering each other on.
Absolutely. And that's why I encourage people also, even if you're not a Writers Guild member, go to any kind, find a writer's group. So many bookstores now and coffee shops have people who are there just writing scripts. And,
mm-hmm.
Just find people so you get that network. You get those people who can encourage you and help you.
Yes.
And especially for people who are writing by themselves. It's so important.
Oh, yeah. I want to share a little story, because I didn't tell you this, I don't think, when I met you. I started writing scripts in Boston, and I wrote, they say you write really crappy, crappy drafts, and so I wrote that. But then when I came out here, I studied screenwriting here at UC Irvine, and I did spend a lot of time alone in libraries and coffee shops in LA, and
uh-huh.
But then you have to let people read your work, and you need to network and collaborate with other writers and have thick skin, and it's super hard. Did you find you needed an agent to do the work you were doing, or you didn't need one?
Back then we did. You can always write, but mm-hmm. if you can't find somebody, back then we didn't have all those contests, all the film contests, script writing contests. We didn't have the blacklist. There weren't avenues where you could, without representation, get a script out there. I mean, this was the day when, you know, you heard these stories about parking valets would leave scripts on, you know, front seat of, you know, executives' cars, things like that.
Yes.
I mean, people were trying to be creative in any way you could, but we were lucky in that we did get representation. We always had representation, some of it good, some of it not so good. But, you know, as it's today, you always have to push your agents or managers to do something. I mean, we're lucky in that our manager, he may not, like if we're working on a script that's not exactly his cup of tea, it's not his forte, mm-hmm. but he's willing to send it out. Like if we say send it to so-and-so, he'll do it.
Okay, that's great.
But you have to push people, too.
Yeah. How do you find, I mean, maybe you can give advice to listeners, how do you find a manager that you feel comfortable with? I mean, sometimes people don't want to tell you who their manager is, maybe.
Oh, that's too bad. I mean, it's one of the hardest things right now is to get representation. And mm-hmm. I hear this from everybody because the industry is smaller now. It's harder. And agents and managers, they don't want to put the work in. They just, you know. So what it is, if you can be a hustler, mm-hmm. I mean, I've always said part of this, half of this industry is being able to push yourself.
Yes.
You know, you need the talent, but you also need to be able to get out there and network and hustle. So if you can show a manager or an agent that, like, you're willing to do a lot of the legwork, you're not just sitting there waiting for them to find you jobs.
Yes.
They don't want people like that. They want people who are out there, can network, can meet people. You know, it's hard, but if you can do that, mm. I think your chances of getting representation are much better.
Yes.
And it's basically you need friends. You need to meet people who are willing to say, oh, yeah, I can hook you up with my agent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sandy and I do that, and, you know, a few people we know do it, but you're right. A lot of people don't do it.
They don't. Right. But, you know, actually, when I wrote one of my books, it was because I met someone that was so generous with information. You know, she said, mm-hmm. call my editor, and, oh, I'm with this publishing house. And there are people that are kind, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I say get out there, go to any kind of meeting, group, seminar, anytime anybody's speaking somewhere, even if it's at the American Cinematheque, which has screenings every weekend, and they have filmmakers come,
mm-hmm.
Go and talk and see what you can do.
Yes. Practice those in-person communication skills that a lot of people have lost.
Absolutely, because even though we don't have too many in-person meetings anymore, everything's mm-hmm. on Zoom, you need to know how to pitch, not
yeah.
just your story, but yourself.
Yes.
And I always equate meeting executives, going out on pitch meetings, to it's like being on a blind date.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to sell yourself to this person.
Yes.
You have to, you know, be charming, be open, be, you know, be succinct as well. Nobody
yes.
wants to sit there and hear you talk about yourself for an hour.
That's right. And also, be willing to let it go, because a lot of times, like with dating or whatever it is, you think, oh, there was a connection. Wow, they're going to call me. I nailed it. And then crickets.
Absolutely. It's always the opposite. You think,
it always,
I mean,
yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times we've walked out of a meeting and thought, oh, well, that was awful.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never hear from them again. And we got a job.
Yes.
You know?
That's so funny.
It is. You have no idea. Yeah. And there are times when you think you've just hit it off this executive or somebody and that, you know, oh, they'll be calling and, yeah, cricket.
Mm-hmm. So definitely.
You never know.
No. Were there any experiences that you and your sister had, like classes or maybe a mentor, that kind of shaped your storytelling style?
I wouldn't say so much our style. I would say, though, we really believe Rob Cohen was a mentor to us because
mm-hmm.
he, you know, we had only written one script, and he took us on. We sold this idea. We were developing a script for him, and he was so helped us learn how to write screenplays. I mean, the important thing is you watch movies that you
yes.
love.
Yes.
And then we went to the library and read scripts. And that's
sure.
the only way you can do it. I mean, Sandy was in film school, but it wasn't all that great. And so Rob Cohen really was a mentor to us and taught us. But that's just because I think we were so green.
Sure.
And
But he saw something in you. He saw something in both of you, which is wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And, you know, I think he liked the idea that we were very young. We were writing a movie about high school, so it wasn't, so it was only a few years removed from mm-hmm. what we were, you know, doing at the time. So, and the funny thing is Sandy was in a, she was, it was her first year of grad school, and Paul Schrader, her teacher had passed away, and they brought mm-hmm. in somebody to take over, and it was the screenwriter Paul Schrader, who did Taxi Driver and Raging Bull.
Okay.
I think maybe he didn't do Raging Bull, but big writer. And so the first day of class, everybody had to go around and talk about what they were working on, and Sandy mentioned she was doing this high school comedy, and it had already been set up at Universal, was going to be producing it. And he said, like, he goes, well, Rob Cohen should be paying me money to work on this with you. He goes, so he was just so, Sandy dropped out of the class. Because he just wasn't going to do anything. So
yeah. Wow, what a story.
Yeah.
So I want to jump back into how you and your sister tackle a project together. How does that work? Do you have a certain process, or does that always change?
No, I think it's pretty much the same for us. I mean, we literally toss around ideas, go back and forth. We write everything together. It's not like one takes this part and one takes the other. We just sit and discuss everything. We write down notes, and then we kind of go line by line. And when, like, as we're writing, when we think a scene is pretty set, then we'll, like, you know, go to the computer and type it up. But we refine. I mean, rewriting is really rewriting.
Oh, yeah.
So you get something down, you get your first idea down, and then you just rewrite it and rewrite it until it's, you know, where it should be. But you know, we just talk it all out together, and
that's great.
You know, after so many years, you know, it just gets faster and faster, actually. Although there's some, you know, you sit there laboring over, like, the dumbest things, you know. And we've learned, like, okay, if you can't get this right, it just, don't waste the time. Put something in that's filler and come back to it.
Yes, yes. Are there times where you are creatively stuck? Because I had someone give me great advice one time on the show. He said, if you're stuck with something, trying to work something out, get offline, go do something else, and you'll find the answer.
Yes. That's why I say just put in something that's a filler and keep going. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes when you keep going, you realize, like, even if you're like 5-10 pages ahead, you realize, mm-hmm. Okay, then we can do this, what was we were stuck on back there. But when we're stuck, just like can't come up with an idea, don't know where to go, we stop.
That's
you know,
good.
It's just like, yeah, I'll go for a walk,
nice.
You know, go out, I'll do something,
yes.
Watch something. But yeah, just don't, and one of the lessons I've learned is not to beat yourself up.
Oh yeah, that's a great lesson.
Yeah,
definitely.
Everybody goes through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, writing is hard. And, you know, people don't understand. You're using your brain. I mean, I cannot tell you, at the end of the day, I'm mentally exhausted.
Sure you are. Yes.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, people think, writing is easy.
You
know, no. You're not out there digging ditches. You're not going to an office.
No.
You're just sitting at home in a nice little, you know, office or whatever.
No.
But it's mentally taxing, and it is exhausting. And that's why I tell people, like, give yourself a break.
That's right.
You know, and people don't understand, most people don't understand what it's like to write. So you just, also, it's another thing you have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what people think, you know, writers, you know, they think you have a cushy life. No.
It's like in the pandemic, people would say, for people that are creative, you must have cranked out so many scripts. Well, not necessarily. Sometimes people were creative and sometimes they were stuck. Because maybe
right.
they were dealing with other things. But back to what you're saying, people don't realize what's involved in writing a script. You're crafting a world and personalities and conflicts and you watch a movie and someone says, oh, I've got the key and we're going to open that, and wrong key. or, you know, so whatever it is, or the thing is missing, you know, or it's empty, or, and so you're constantly coming up with these curveballs and surprises and to make it flow.
Well,
that's not
we
easy.
We also believe, like, I mean, character is very, very important, obviously, but we believe it's just as important to have a good plot or a story.
Yes.
Because if you don't, what are your characters going to do? They're just going to sit around and talk all the time. So you need to keep the action going, and you need to keep the story moving. And a lesson we also learned is that every scene should move the plot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think character movies are fine, but I really like when it's character and plot. I like plot-driven movies. I like thrillers. I mean, we wrote several thrillers in our time. You know, we weren't just always doing, and that's the other thing. We've written different genres, which is fun too.
Okay,
and that's what's great when you're creative. You can do so many different things.
Is there a genre you prefer, or you just like mixing it up?
Well, we like mixing it up. We were, I mean, obviously most successful writing the rom-coms, especially for Hallmark. But you know, and during the strike, Sandy and I wrote a rom-com on spec, which is not a Hallmark movie, and our manager is, we're working with a director and getting it set up someplace, but we also optioned a nonfiction book that's set during World War II. It was a true story that we just fell in love with. It's a story that hadn't been told yet, and we are working on that project right now. We have some producers attached. So
that's exciting.
We want to do different genres as well.
Did you ever want to also act?
Never.
Never.
And I never wanted to direct.
Oh.
My goal was always just to be the best writer I could be.
I love that. So what happens in the process, for those who don't know? You write a script. You have a manager and an agent. What happens? Do they get back to you and say, okay, they're going to produce it? Do they stick to the script? Do they tell you they're going to change something? How does it work?
They almost never stick to the script. It just depends on where you're at. If it's a Hallmark movie, they're low budget, they're done. I mean, it's literally 3 weeks of pre-production, 3 weeks of production, and 3 weeks of post, and boom, your movie's on.
Wow.
Which is what's wonderful about Hallmark. There's a lot of work there. They make a lot of movies, and most of what they buy gets made, at least from us. We've been very, very lucky in that what we've written has been made. So it's quick, but and they don't have a lot of time to do too many rewrites. But in feature films, you can do a project, and it takes years. I mean, unfortunately, you know, I think we've all read stories about movies that just, they take, you know, some of them take 10 years.
They do.
From page to screen.
Yes.
And it's about doing a lot of, and, you know, there's times when they want to bring in another writer to rewrite you, and it hurts like hell, but for the sake of the project, you have to do it.
You have to let it go.
Not like,
yeah.
I mean, the point is, you don't have a career if you don't have feature credits or credits.
Right. That's right.
So you need those credits no matter what.
Well, we do have to wrap up, but I have to tell you this has flown by.
Yeah, really has.
And I really enjoyed our conversation. If you miss any part of my conversation with Judy, it will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap. Judy is a screenwriter, very accomplished screenwriter, and currently writing with her sister for the Hallmark Channel. And I'm going to leave you with this. I mentioned my stepmom would always tell me, I'm watching the Hallmark Channel. Can you call back? It's so cute.
It is everyone's guilty pleasure.
Oh,
I have
so
to say that also. It's
so
amazing
cute.
How many people tell us that.
I love it. Well, Judy, I really enjoyed this, and I hope to see you sometime, and congratulations on all you've done.
Great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's a wrap for me. You've been listening to Get the Funk Out right here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Up next, SoCal New Waiver with Past Forward. Stick around for that, and I'll be back next Wednesday. I'm Janine, and have a great one. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.